And it's the story of legends, which we know Samuel today. So let's read it together. 1 Samuel 3. Love this story. The boy, Samuel, ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Remember, they had the scriptures. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak where he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord when the ark of God was there. And then the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli, and he said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." This is such a fascinating story. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. If Eli was walking with the Lord more closely, he would have known the first time. True. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. When he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood there calling another time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel is and became one of Israel's great leaders, and he represents a transition that's happening in Israel. The transition was you had local judges, and this transition going to a place of kings. That's a different way of living in Israel. So he represents this transition, a major shift. It'd be like us going from democratic to socialistic structures. Kind of feels that way a little bit at times. But what we see here is that we read, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. This is not about the scriptures not being read and heard and understood. This is about God speaking that they did not have much. The whispers of God are about making. He makes the first move. So what I want to do with you, I just want to glean some prayer insights about listening and hearing from God, okay? I just want to get some insights because the echoes of God are sometimes heard when we look back and go, "Oh, that was God speaking to me then." The whispers are the present, the echoes are the past where we go, "That was him." And so one thing I've learned is that prayer really is the second action, right? We are responding to the initiative of God, but we'll see that. So the first insight here is that God loves to initiate a conversational prayer life. God enjoys initiating a conversational prayer life. 1 Samuel 3:4 says, "Then the Lord called to Samuel, and he said, 'Here I am.'" The launching of this was God. He initiated this. He started this relationship. And this happened, as we see, four times. Notice that it wasn't Samuel that was doing this. This was God initiating, inviting him into this, hearing from him. It's how prayer works. We listen for his nudges, his pokes, that alert, that awareness of him. He may be saying something to us. The Apostle John, remember, he said this, when we love because he first loved us. So what love is we're responding to the love of God. We love him because he's first loving us. And it's the same in the area of prayer. Once you start to pray, it might be that he's actually nudged you to come. Prayer, God's initiating. Even now, there may have been things this week he initiated something with you. And it's learning to listen to those. I want to give you hope. You probably are hearing, just not making the connection. I've talked to so many people over the years, and I'll remind them, maybe the thoughts in your head are coming from God and you don't know it. Listen, when God came to Samuel, it was an ordinary voice, right? He thought it was Eli. Now, he didn't know the Lord, but it was an ordinary voice. It wasn't Moses and Charlton Heston, Samuel, right? As we think, it was intimate, Samuel, very intimate. You know, it's amazing when his voice comes. Elle and I were doing a bicycle trip one time. It's one of our new hobbies. And, you know, we got into this tiff, right? You know what a tiff is. You both have good points and no one's budging, right? So we decided to go out. We were still on the bike trip. We said, let's just go in different ways, but we'll get to the same destination and we'll meet there. On the way, I was building my case. I'm telling you, this is honest truth. I go, I didn't even think of that. Yes, now I'm ready. And then I heard this thought. You're feeling pretty smug right now. And I laughed. I said, Lord, is that you? I don't even use the word smug. And I went, yeah, I'm feeling pretty smug. And I realized, yeah, I needed to repent. We talked. She got the flowers and I got an education. Guess what? If I use my point, I lose ground with her. And so it was about coming together. The voice of God probably has saved my marriage. Picture the night. Samuel's a boy, right? He's got his Nikes on. He's got his sweats. He's got his favorite soccer team on his shirt. He's got his night light on. The shades are down. He's thinking in his wild imagination, his boys think, right? He's in that moment, and all of a sudden, he hears a voice, and he responds to the voice, which is good. But in all of this, I think I see God smiling. You know, just there he goes. Here I am, and there he goes. Notice the word called. When the caller calls and he wants to talk, he will keep calling until you make the connection. The caller never gives up when he calls you. That's the ways of God. When you study that word, God's calling and his gifts are irrevocable, Romans tells us. So if he's calling you, he'll get through eventually. It may take you at the end of your life, but he'll get through to you. Whispers. He doesn't just love you, he wants you to hear it. Whispers. He's actually very practical in his whispers. Whispers. Maybe you're not getting sleep, he can tell you why, what that is. Whispers. How to get through this sickness that's looming and unrelenting. Whispers. They come with an invitation to always go deeper with God. Insight number two, God's whispers are very personal. Very personal. Notice he addresses him as Samuel, not a boy, not the son of. He addresses the person, Samuel. First of all, he was Hannah's son. And I love this picture, what I see here. Verse 10, look at that. The Lord came and stood there. The Lord came. In other words, he came to Samuel and stood there. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God standing by the bedside of a boy? Isn't that what we did with our children? Right? We stand and we look. Didn't you do this? That's my boy. That's my girl. Right? And there was affection in your heart. You would do anything for this child except when you're really tired. He's a personal God. He moves from existing as a person to a person who's standing. He moves to a God that manifests to speaking. He goes from standing to speaking. I love this picture. Our job then is to listen first. Listen. Seeing little Samuel, I love this picture. It gives me hope that even children can hear from God. When you stood there by the crib, I'm sure you've been very moved. Samuel doesn't know that the Lord is close, and we miss the moment when God is close. This is a lesson for all of us. Remember, Samuel is in the house of God. If you know the story, Hannah had a miracle, had a baby, and she dedicated it to the Lord, right? And so here is Samuel in the house of God, but not even aware of God. I mean, he doesn't really yet know God. yet God comes to him very personal. When I teach prayer and I work with people to hear the voice of God, sometimes I will do some exercises to help us. And sometimes they can be, you know, very personal. I remember one church I helped transition, we went through prayer together, and I said, let's take some time to listen to the Lord together, right? So we built a biblical case for it, the scriptures were there, but I did not share this verse at all. I said, I'm going to write a verse on a piece of paper. And what I wrote down that they didn't know was Matthew 6:33, put on a piece of paper, and we all just waited on the Lord to hear from him. And Ruth Jackson just said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I went, boom, here it is. God just spoke. Their faces went, whew. I said, yep, God's very personal. He wants to be sought. And I'll never forget that. Ruth went, oh my. I'll never forget that moment. Job said this, for God does speak now one way, now another, though no one perceives it, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on people, he may speak in their ears to turn from wrongdoing, to keep them from pride, to preserve them from the pit. Now, he speaks in the scriptures, very important, but he also demonstrates himself in his presence. And we read in the scripture here, the word of the Lord was rare. The word of the Lord was rare. Remember, Eli was called to preach and teach, so there was teaching from the scripture, but the hearing from God and the speaking, at least outside the scriptures, was very minimal. And so don't be discouraged. There's seasons I've gone where God was very quiet, but Jesus said this, John 14:21, he who has my word and obeys it, he is the one who loves me, and I will come and manifest myself to them. Notice, he will come to us. This is why Moses prayed, Lord, I'm not going to lead Israel if your presence doesn't go with us. That's what he said. Not, I know you're present, you know, omnipresence, you're present. No, you're manifesting, demonstrating, actualization, presence. I don't want without that. And so this is what we need to keep in mind. His voice is a beautiful thing. It's very, very personal. I used to cringe when I thought about the idea of God rebuking me. I used to think it was a double barrel experience. Boom, you know, like, whoa. But when he says things, you're feeling pretty smug today. That actually was a rescue. He said that in kindness to me. And so he knows our soul needs to be tinkered with, our hearts need to be adjusted. He knows our life needs to be repositioned so that we hear his personal words to us. This is what he's doing with Samuel. He's addressing him very personally. One of the stories we share over the years with our kids is that when Jake was 5 years old, he loved animals, just loved animals. To this day, he still does. Made up this aquarium just the other day with little tadpoles. He's 22, amazing, amazing young man. Anyway, when he was 5 years old, he came to me, he said, Dad, Hermie is missing. Hermie was his hermit crab. He had very intelligent names for his animals, Blackie the fish, Hermie the hermit crab, you know, things like that. He said, Dad, Hermie's gone, I can't find him. I was busy at the time, I said, Bud, hermit crabs do that. Sometimes they get out. Just keep looking. Just keep looking. Day two came. He came to me distraught. Dad, I have not found Hermie yet. I said, okay, bud, just keep looking. I'm a little busy here. Just, you know, he's somewhere in the house, right? Third time, third day, he comes to me really upset. Dad, I said, hold on a second. And I heard the Lord speak. You're missing an opportunity with your son. I said, yeah, I am. All right, Jake, get the family. Let's get together and pray. So we gathered together. We said, you know, we prayed. Said, Lord, show us where Hermie is. Would you just help Jake, as I know, and help us? And I remember walking, and the Lord spoke again. This time when you ask me, say it like you mean it and pray like you believe it. That was when I was looking under Jake's bed. I said, whoa, okay. I said, Lord, I trust you. I know you know. Show me where it is. And he spoke. He is on your Michael Jordan sneakers in your closet. And I went, God knows Michael Jordan. But I went, okay. And this is what I said to the family. Hey, I think I know where he is. Doubt, right? Open the door. There's the hermit crab on Michael Jordan sneakers in my closet. Why did God do that? To show Jake that he is a personal God, right? Can I hear an amen on that one? Amen. Right, and he wants to speak to your children too. We got to teach them how to listen, how to listen. Now, just like a typical Pete, I missed a point there, but there is another insight that I want you to see. The more you listen and obey, the more you will hear. The more you listen and obey, the more you will hear. Eli tells Samuel what he needs to do. And what does he tell him, right? He tells Samuel, next time you hear him, speak, Lord, your servant hears. That's a Hebrew word here. Listen very carefully what I'm going to say here. This word is hamar in Hebrew. It means one who listens with the intent of doing what is said to them. Right? You know, have you been in conversation with your spouse over something? You know they're listening, but are you sure they heard you? Right? Then you watch what they do and they do what you've asked them to do. Then you know they've heard what you said. They may have listened with their ears, but not with their feet. Right? Hamar is a word that says, I will do exactly what you say. This is what Eli tells him. And he does that. And when you follow his life, it says about Samuel, not one word fell to the ground that the Lord gave him. It means every time that God spoke to Samuel to say something, not on the scriptures, but a prophetic voice to Israel, it didn't fall to the ground. What, Samuel's words? No. God's word through Samuel's words never fell to the ground. It's an amazing history that he had, the history that he had. Now, Eli is serving as pastor of pastors, right? His life's in shambles. If you read this story, his sons were Beavis and Butthead, right? Wild, did not honor God, were around the things of God, but never touched or related to God at all. And yet, Eli was willing to hear what the Lord had to say to him through this young boy. Don't you want to hear his calming love over the troubles you face today? His declaration to provide for you in this season of your life. His guidance in decisions you're trying to make when you're trying to follow him. His gentle corrections. Now, I use 5 screens to know it's from the Lord. I'm just going to pass them on to you just briefly. The first screen is when scripture is quoted to me. Boom. This was about a little over a year ago. I was trying to understand what God was doing in our lives, and I was really just not getting there, and I was just troubled over it. When I woke up in the morning, I got out of bed. Within 10 seconds, the scripture came to me, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge me in all you do, and I'll make your path straight. And I didn't even drink my coffee yet. I was just on my way. I knew that was the Lord. When scripture comes to you like that. A second screen, is it consistent to the character of God, right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? But his ways are different. The way he deals with you is different than the ways he deals with me. But his character is the same. So is it consistent with his character? Sometimes we put more stock in our approach. Sometimes my spiritual disciplines have gotten in the way of his voice because I put more stock in the discipline than in God himself, and I have to change. John of the Cross helped me, one of the great leaders of the church back in the 1500s. He said this, to get to an unknown land by unknown roads, a traveler cannot allow himself to be guided by his old experience. He has to doubt himself and seek the guidance of others. There is no way he can reach new territory and know it truly unless he abandons familiar ways. Do you hear that? Is it consistent with the character of God, but then getting away from the ways that we hold on to And so we need others, and others have helped me. My mentor, Fred Hartley, has been tremendous for me. I remember one prayer meeting, he called us forward. I was on my face before the Lord, and the Lord spoke very clearly. He said, it's time to put your paintbrush down. I've anointed you to build leaders, and I put a shovel in your hand. And I knew what that was. Stop doing painting business, get my doctorate so I can build leaders, and here's a shovel. Keep digging for God, keep digging for God, keep digging for God. And so that's a screen that I use. It was consistent with the character of God. A third screen is it wise and practical? I'm amazed at how practical he is to us. So practical. Fourth screen is it consistent with who you are, how God has made you? Consistent with your life trajectory? And fifth, does it sit well with trusted friends? I have friends that I go, here's what I'm hearing. What do you think? You know me. Like, here I am. I'm an open book. Is this consistent? And Samuel did this. Samuel heard the Lord and called the ministry. And the scripture says this, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. What is that? Whatever he prophetically said to the people, they saw it come true and they realized, okay, he's hearing, right? So you need people in your life that come alongside and go, yeah, that sounds like the Lord, or maybe not, or wait on it. And so hearing his whispers is worth it. Echoes and whispers. I close with this. Several years ago, I had read the autobiography and biography of Teresa of Avila. Teresa lived in the 1500s. She lived in Spain, and she was a devout seeker of Jesus. But she also battled physical ailments all her young life, and a lot of you are in those battles. And they got in the way of her walk with God because she just had many of them. And the Lord healed her, and she began to pursue God even more. And in her book, Mansions of the Heart, she did something for me. I'll paraphrase what she's saying. She said this in terms of intimacy and summits and going up to the mountain of God. She said this. She said, when you were young, you used to, with your spiritual disciplines, come into the presence of God, and it was like a bucket, and you picked up your bucket, and you kind of took the water, and you kind of just drank it all in, and you're refreshed. And this is what we do. We read, and we study, and we pray, and we do these things. She said, but there's an intimacy with God where it's just like the Mountain Dew, and you've done nothing, but you're receiving it all of his presence. And I went, I want to go there. I want to wake up, and I don't need any buckets. He's just there, and there's the peace and the love and the joy, and I'm like, I want to live there. That's where I want to go. So I trust in this series, we will listen for his whispers. And when you hear them, write them down. Keep them as treasures. And start teaching your kids how to listen and hear and write down.